Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Surprise! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, I know it's not a surprise to us in this place at this time, but to those who were going to the tomb that day, they had gotten everything they needed to finish prepping Jesus for his burial in the ground. They had gone with some expenses, spices, and everything. And as they're going, they're wondering, who is going to be willing to move this big stone for us? For they had heard it was there in place, and that there were guards, but they figured the cooperation would be lax at best for them. And so they wondered, who was going to move the stone? But as they get closer, surprise, the stone's gone. Bigger surprise, it doesn't seem any guards are around. And even bigger surprise, there's a glowing man sitting where Jesus' body was. And that man says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. We know this is not the only people to come to the tomb that morning. We know the guards had been there, asleep as they were. We know that Peter and John would later go. Mary Magdalene goes. They go there to see where Jesus is. So here they all run away afraid, but they go back. Why? Because the surprise that even though it shouldn't have been a surprise, right? It had been written for the whole time of the world from the Lord saying what was going to take place. And Jesus had told them themselves what was going to happen. Yet, it didn't click. Have you ever been part of planning a surprise party? I've only been part of it a couple times. And one of the times was just me being invited to come and hide and go, surprise! And that was it. But the other one, they wanted me involved a little more. And I tell you, one of the hardest parties to plan is a surprise party. Because there's one person of whom you have to keep unaware of it, but somehow get them to be in the place you need them to be at the right time. So you have to come up with some big, extravagant something or other to get them to be led to the right place. I didn't like planning the surprise party. It wasn't fun. The jumping up and saying surprise was fun. But for most people who are surprised, if you've ever been on the receiving end of a surprise party, it's also not the most fun. So I don't know what the joy in this is, but scaring your friends, I guess. But in those moments, we can understand the fear that you might have at someone being someplace you wouldn't expect them to be, or not being where you expected them to be. And so for these people, they go to the tomb expecting a very specific tradition to be able to take place. But instead, all the people they expected to be there weren't there. The guards, not there. Jesus, not there. The big stone, not in the spot it's supposed to be. And yet there is this man, there, an angel glowing, waiting for them. And yet, it wasn't what they were expecting. And I don't think this is what we as mankind would expect our God to do. See, in the garden, he created us. And there, we are to live forever, walking the garden with him. But instead, what happened was we did what he asked us not to do. And mankind ate the fruit at the hands of our father and mother, Adam and Eve. and their sin passed generation to generation. Yet God continued to love. He protected them, even in the midst of their own disaster. And he gave them his promise that he would send one who would crush the head of the serpent. And there, that one, we would find out, would be his son, born of the Virgin, who would die on a tree, on a cross, as we've been celebrating all week. And so there it is, the Lamb of God, who would fulfill all the sacrifices that had been placeholders with the people of Israel in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all that. All that was placeholder. Why? Because mankind had sinned, and their sin was so great that it had brought about much disaster for them, that God made a promise to save them. And so he gave to them a way for them to see that promise. For them, it was sacrifice to be those on which their sin was born, and they would receive forgiveness. For us, it is Jesus, the final sacrifice, the only needed sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And yet, we too can't yet see him walking among us anymore. And so we need a bit of a placeholder. So he gives us the sacraments. He gives us baptism to wash us from our sin in the blood of the Lamb, which was slain for us, Jesus. And there he gives us the Lord's Supper, his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. I know I mentioned this last night, so if you're here last night, sorry for the repeat, but I just love these old ancient imagery of the Lamb who stands in victory, because it gets the point across of how much thought the Lord puts into this and how he helps us as we go forward in the traditions of the church past generation to generation in keeping his word and his promise. And so here you have in the ancient imagery a Lamb, sometimes upon the cross, sometimes upon an altar. But he's slain, stabbed in the side. And from his side is coming the water and the blood. The Lord knew the imagery that he would give us in the sacraments. The sacrament being that which has an earthly element with the promise of God. And there the water flows into the font in these ancient images. And there the blood into the chalice, as he gives us his body and blood in with and under that bread and wine. And so there it is in these ancient images, reminding us from whom we have salvation. The one who was not there, the one that we expected to be there, who would go on ahead of the people to meet them where he had the angel tell them. And there it is, the best surprise that wasn't supposed to be a surprise ever. And so we come today having remembered everything from his ride into Jerusalem as he looked to the cross, knowing what was coming. The king riding in, not so kingly, all the way to Maundy Thursday, when we see the Lord's Supper for the first time, as he has his 12 there who were chosen to receive it for the first time so that they could give it to the people as it would follow after his death, resurrection, and ascension. And there they would leave so that he could pray. They'd go down to the Garden of Gethsemane. From there, he'd be taken away before the leaders of their people, the chief priest, the high priest, and eventually Pilate. And there, mankind, who had their Savior promised to them, had him standing there where they could touch his hands, could not see but to say to Pilate, "Crucify him, crucify him." And there we see the death of mankind, the corruption of our sin, and the reason why we need this Savior who died and rose. Because he did it for you. Your sins were then upon his shoulders on the cross, where he bled and died with a crown of thorns on his head. He was mocked and beaten and suffered for you. For he too suffers, as the Apostle Peter reminds us later. And there it is, that now, as he has promised 3 days later, guess what? He's risen. It wasn't supposed to be a surprise, but it was. And they would later remember everything that he said to them. Those memories would click into place what the Lord had taught them. And there they would share with the world, maybe not as quickly in this moment, but they would go on to tell of the Savior, as we see from St. Paul's writing. Now, he was very unlikely to be a servant of Jesus, but yet knocked to the ground and blinded for a little bit. There it is. This man who had killed people was now chief at sharing the gospel. And this great, wonderful blessing of the resurrection of our Lord, as he says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive at his time, not ours, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." We come to church week in, week out, celebrating the little Easters every Sunday. Why? Because we need God. And he calls us to be here, to fellowship, but most importantly of all, to come to his service. The Germans would call it Gottesdienst, God's service. And we come not because we're doing something for God, but rather what he does for us. And here it is, laid out perfect for you, that there you would have that forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal laid out for you. That where you had death that condemned you forever, now you have life, and you have it abundantly, that it would live because Christ is resurrected. Because he wasn't there where he was expected to be by human understanding. But see, where human understanding is put aside, the Lord keeps to his plan, and he goes, and he comes to those, even those who are least expected, in ways that we still don't fully understand. I'm not even sure St. Paul fully understood what happened, except for that Jesus came to him, and he got to see the whole life of Christ in an instant, and had to be healed from blindness. And yet there, the word is preached. Preached week in and week out, that you would know the Savior who loves you and has died for you. The Savior who comes to you, your God in the flesh, who walked in our flesh and died in our flesh, bore your sins that they would be no more, that those ancient enemies are gone. Sin, death, and Satan's tyranny, no power over you anymore. And there, as he stands arisen, he promises to make you rise with him on that last day. We sang at the beginning of the service a hymn that has one of my all-time favorite verses in it. And we sing it at this time of year because it gives it so wonderfully. Jesus lives, the victory's won. And so if you turn to verse 5 of that hymn, it says this: Jesus lives, and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence. This verse is so comforting. I remember when I was working in the nursing homes, I picked this one year, and as it often was, having people from all sorts of denominations living there that would come to our services, it was inevitable that someone would say, Pastor, I don't know that hymn. But then we'd sing it. And one year we sang this hymn. And I had someone come up to me who had been struggling with all that they've been going through and what they saw as the coming of death. And they weren't sure why the Lord had left them in that state. And they said, this verse is so comforting. Jesus lives, and now is death, but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence. And what they liked about it was that they knew where the Lord had them after death. And they knew that when this life failed, the Lord had them. And this, in him, they took confidence. And here it is, that picture, right? Think about the picture that's being laid by the artist here as they wrote this verse. You look back, what did we have? Well, death was because of sin. And the only place it led was eternal condemnation, to sit in a place made for fallen angels, made for demons and Satan. But now in Jesus, what we have is that death, which should have kept us from God forever, now brings us closer to him because he came close to you. And here, where you had death, you walk through this gate. And instead of ending up in the fires of hell, you walk onto the shore of God's kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth, as he walks you through judgment day to rest in his kingdom forever. And that tears, that sorrow, as they put it in the hymn, the trembling breath, ends forever. And as all had failed in this life, all our senses, now he heals us. And there you can have confidence, knowing that your Savior, who wasn't in the tomb any longer that morning, is still not in the tomb. And there it is, that he's preparing a place for you, that there you can know that death is no longer the gate to hell, but rather the gate to eternal life, where you will see your Savior face to face. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.